It's time for Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. As we welcome in Fox 8's own John Tellich. JT, how are we doing?
Doing great. I hope you and everybody listening are doing well as we head into this crazy month of December.
Oh, yeah, and man, I hope it's a relatively calm month of December, although early indications may maybe say otherwise, but we'll see. We'll see how things shake out heading into the new year. Now, you know, we'll start here. The Browns are 8-3. They've won three straight, twice now this season. That's the first time that's happened since 1988. But, you know, going through social media, namely Twitter, and I know you addressed this on Twitter, actually, there's still some very unhappy campers out there, very nitpicky about, yeah. You know, the Browns' performance. And people just seem to be finding reasons to be miserable despite the team being 8-3. Is there a rhyme or reason for that, John?
You know, you mentioned something I did on Twitter. I dropped a tweet on Sunday night, Rocco, that basically said, I've been covering this team for a bazillion years, since 1980, and you have a season that's unprecedented because of COVID. You have a rookie head coach. You have premier players being out, whether it's Garrett or OBJ or Chubb for a month. You have all of these factors that have come into play. And yet, with a rookie head coach, you're 8-3, and now people are worried about style points on how these wins occur. And it just struck me as being a little strange. And I'm not lecturing anyone. I'm just saying, you know, just enjoy the moment. You know, as Voltaire wrote, you know, paradise is right now where you are. And the Browns are 8-3. And last time I checked, there was a parade for this football team very short period of time ago that was celebrating or mocking a winless campaign. And here they are at 8-3 amidst COVID, amidst a rookie coach coming in and not getting the advantages that rookie coaches normally get. He's coaching people via Zoom in the spring. He's meeting people, you know, face-to-face in training camp. And here they are at 8-3 with one of the best records in the NFL. And you know something, Rocco, it's not just, and again, I'm not lecturing, I'm just saying that we, the fans, the media, have all been conditioned for all these years since the Browns came back, save the 2002 campaign and save the 2007 campaign. It's been really bad. And so I just think, you know, people are, it's hard to enjoy these things, even though it's really fun to see the team that either you cover and or are a fan of come up big in the clutch periods of games, as opposed to in the recent past when they were the team that always found a way to slip on the banana peel. That was my only point. And by the way, that struck such a nerve because it just got tons of play because I think a lot of people are feeling that way, but it's hard to let go of those old feelings of the team that you are around or cover or are a fan of has had so many misfortunes in recent years. It's a weird dynamic.
Hey, well, that tweet gave me a solid 20 minutes worth of entertainment on Sunday evening there, just reading through some of those comments. Grabbed me a bag of popcorn, and away I went scrolling down the replies. Yeah, it is weird. That's a great way to put it. It's just weird to see that dynamic of people just almost wanting to stay miserable. But like you said, it's almost been a conditioning to do so with the troubles of the team. So certainly.
Yeah, and you know, if I can jump in, I think a lot of it centers around Baker. It really does. It's like, you know, he's obviously been one of the better quarterbacks since the Browns came back. I mean, I think we can all agree on that. Just look at what he did at the tail end of his rookie year. But yet, you know, a lot of people are still not convinced he's the guy to lead them forward, even though, and again, he hasn't played perfect. He's missed throws. He's made some phenomenal throws, but he's missed throws. And yet the team that he quarterbacks with a great running game and with, you know, a premier defensive player and all that is 8-3. And so, you know, that was the feeling. But I think I guess Baker is kind of like a lightning rod for the emotions or feelings that the Browns fans seem to have.
Well, so what needs to change with him, you know, to kind of redirect that narrative? Because I mean, it's so weird for him. It's a throw-by-throw basis for him on Sundays, it feels like, right? Like the bad throw, he misses Higgins, everybody explodes and talks about how bad he is, and then, you know, he comes back and makes a nice throw to the corner of the end zone for a touchdown, and all of a sudden, oh, yeah, he's doing great, he's fine, whatever. So it's weird to see this throw-by-throw dynamic that you don't really see with other quarterbacks, because if you did, like a Patrick Mahomes, you'd kind of see the same thing. But again, I ask, like, what does he need to do to change that narrative, or is that even possible at this point?
Well, I think a lot of people have already had their minds made up on him, and maybe the Browns brass knows 95% of what he's capable of and where his ceiling is. But I think you also have to say, you know, give this guy another offseason, which would be his first offseason with Kevin Stefanski, and see how things transpire next campaign. Because right now, there's no way you even think about changing what you have going when this guy is quarterbacked your football team to 8-3. And so what's he have to do better? I think you said it, Rocco. I mean, there are some of those throws that, you know, it's almost like the second baseman with the yips thrown out over to first. You know, he's had some easy throws that he, you know, that he's pulled up on. I think some of it's mechanics, you know, maybe throwing off the back foot, being in the pocket, having to throw in tight windows because of his 6 foot stature versus being a bigger guy. You know, he's made some, the throw he made from the end zone to Jarvis Landry when it was a third down, I'm not sure the distance, but it was in a short third and whatever. That was a fantastic throw. And then the touchdown pass he threw to Jarvis was another outstanding throw, a sideline throw to, I think it was Kadarius Hodge. I mean, he's making some of these real, but then you look and you see in the time of the game when you can put this contest away, you've got an easy rollout throw to Kareem, and you throw it off his back shoulder. That, you know, nobody, only Gumby would have caught that ball. And so, you know, these are the things that kind of are maddening. But I think as you look at the entire body of work for Baker, it certainly is doing better this year. He's leading a football team that's won. They're 4-0 in games where, you know, they've been decided by 7 points or less. So he's, you know, quarterbacking the team. I know he has a fantastic closer in Chubb and Hunt.
Yep.
I mean, that's their Mariano Rivera, if you want to put it bluntly. But he is, he's just always, I think, going to be a topic for Browns fans, because we all think we know everything about football. I mean, this is the nature of Cleveland Browns fans, and there's nothing wrong with that, because this is such a hotbed for football. And I think we all have these, not necessarily preconceived notions, but just formulas or feelings in our own heads about how this guy should be quarterback. I mean, people found fault with how, you know, awkward Bernie looked, you know, running around in the pocket in sidearm throws and all that. But all I ever saw from Bernie Kosar was he led his teams to the playoffs and to the AFC Championship game. So, you know, that certainly will quell people. And I think there's still that national narrative. There's always the people in the media on the national level that have been adversaries of, excuse me, of Baker. And that's probably good. That's just something that's going to continue. But they're 8-3, and so I just feel it's, you know, you should enjoy that, and it's just been amazing to see what they've done in the various different. I forgot to even bring up weather, you know, because you know those are the types of games where some guys just, you know, in some ways kind of check out. Oh, this is a horrific day, and so, you know, just things might not go quote our way. A guy may say, and you might have a different kind of an effort, but they've even prevailed in these super bad weather games. So I'm enjoying the 8-3, believe me, and I'm sure it's an overwhelming majority that do. But it's kind of weird just that some people are still finding style points necessary. With the only thing that matters is how many wins you have versus how many losses you have.
Yeah, I'll take 8-3 over style points all day, every day, John. So I'm right there with you. Quickly here, defensively, you know, I really thought the Browns could get to Mike Glennon on Sunday, and I know that's something we had talked about last week, you know, maybe talking about Olivier Vernon having back-to-back breakout weeks. It didn't really happen. You know, they never managed to get Mike Glennon onto the ground. How important is it for this defense to be fully healthy moving forward as the postseason rolls around, you know, namely Myles Garrett and others?
Yeah, I think it's really important. It's going to be great to see how he plays this week because, you know, he's missed two games, and we're not sure just, you know, how physically some people react differently than others to having COVID. How strong of a strain was it in this person versus that? So it's going to be great to have him back first and foremost. And then in a couple of weeks from now, more than likely getting Denzel Ward back. They've always had issues this year with the injuries. You had Ronnie Harrison. All they were talking about Ronnie Harrison was he was really getting it, making strides with his team. And what happens? He tries to make a tackle on the first play from scrimmage and injures his shoulder, and he's out 4 to 6 weeks. So they're always, you know, dealing with something on the defensive side of the football. And this would be a good week, as best a week as any, to get a few takeaways and then protect the football, because they'll be necessary, obviously, to win down there in Tennessee.
Well, you alluded to it right there, John Brown. He's traveling down to Tennessee on Sunday to take on Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, and the Titans. How do they get a win and move to 9-3?
Well, I think, you know, what you're seeing with Tennessee is basically the Browns this year are kind of like Tennessee a year ago. You know, they simplified things for Ryan Tannehill a year ago. They obviously have the incredible horse in Derrick Henry, and he's fantastic running back. He won the rushing title a year ago, taking it from Nick Chubb on the final day. And so that was their formula. And they went, you know, a couple of games into the playoffs and looked really strong. And then I think the Browns are them, you know, this year. So we'll see how, you know, it's basically playing a mirror. You know, you're looking into the mirror, you're taking on a team. But I think the common denominator when you look at what the Browns have done so far with their record versus what Tennessee has done with their record is Browns got blown out by two of the better teams in the AFC. We know the Steelers and the Ravens. And then when you look at what happened with Tennessee, they beat the Baltimore Ravens this year, and they lost to the Steelers by just 3 points. So I guess if you look at, you know, those common denominators, you would say naturally the Titans on their home field should be a favorite in this game. And I think right now, for recreational purposes only, they are a 6-point favorite to beat the Browns on Sunday. And so, obviously, they've got to force some turnovers in this game to give them a good chance to win. But it certainly is, with all that the Browns have been through, it certainly is a winnable game. And this is one of those games that can be those, you know, the benchmarks on your season, where if you look back and say, they really came of age when they went down to Tennessee and really handled the Titans. We'll see if they can do that.
Big AFC battle on Sunday between the Browns and the Titans, 1 o'clock. I'm looking forward to it. Should be a good one down there in Tennessee. John, thank you so much for the insight this week. I really appreciate it. We'll look forward to chatting again next week.
Sounds great. You guys stay safe out there. See you later.